This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is on assignment. The Senate today is holding confirmation hearings on the nomination of Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense. During questioning this morning, Gates sought to assure senators that he would assert his independence from the White House and said he's open to new ideas about U.S. strategy in the war in Iraq. Democratic Senator Carl Levin of Michigan asked Gates a pointed question about U.S. prospects in Iraq.
Mr. Gates, do you believe that we are currently winning in Iraq?
No, sir.
Republican Senator John McCain pressed Gates on the same question.
I'd like to follow on just what Senator Levin said. We are not winning the war in Iraq. Is that correct?
That is my view, yes, sir.
And therefore, the status quo is not acceptable.
That is correct, sir.
The confirmation hearings continue this afternoon, and joining us now from the Pentagon to discuss today's events is NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman. Thanks for being with us, Tom.
You're welcome.
Now, were you surprised to hear Robert Gates acknowledge that the U.S. is not winning the war?
I was a little surprised at that because President Bush has said we are winning and will continue to win as long as we don't pull the troops out too fast. So that was an interesting exchange that he had with both Carl Levin and John McCain. It was a certain amount of candor that we haven't heard for quite some time from the Defense Department.
And, of course, he also was assuring later on or at another point in the hearing this morning, he was saying that, yes, he could be independent from the White House. Was this perhaps an indication of that?
I think that's probably right. He said he would speak truth to power. He said he would listen to his admirals and generals, something many of them say that Secretary Rumsfeld has not done. And he said he would give unvarnished advice to the president. So, again, it was, I think the senator saw it as a breath of fresh air, and many of them mentioned that, as a matter of fact.
What else specifically, or was there anything else that you heard that did surprise you today?
Well, he gave some hints, but no details about how he'll proceed as defense secretary. What he did say was that American troops will be in Iraq for a long time, though not necessarily at the numbers there are now at about 140,000. And he did say that if you train Iraqis faster, then the Americans can come home sooner. And he wondered, are there enough American trainers, for example, and should more U.S. troops be embedded with Iraqi units. Now, these are recommendations expected to come out of the Iraq Study Group and also from a separate Pentagon review. We expect a lot more Americans training Iraqi troops. So that's something that I was listening for, and clearly he seems to be heading in that direction.
We have some tape of an exchange between Mr. Gates and Senator Joe Lieberman dealing with troops. Let's listen to that.
Is it fair to say that because of your concern about the potential for a regional conflagration and that we not leave Iraq in chaos, that it is highly unlikely that you would recommend to the president the beginning of a withdrawal of American troops without regard to conditions on the ground in Iraq?
I think any decision, Senator, with respect to troop levels, first of all, I would seek the views of the commanders themselves, but I think that any decision on troop levels has to be tied to the situation on the ground in some respect.
And that an increase or surge in the number of American troops there, for instance, to better embed American coalition forces with the Iraqi security forces, which is an idea that has been embraced by many, the potential for a surge or a temporary increase in American troops is one of the options that you would consider as part of your review now?
That certainly is an option, and related to that might be, do we have sufficient number of trainers? If our focus is on training and bringing up the Iraqi army, do we have enough trainers to do that job in Iraq? And do we have, should we be embedding more of our troops with the Iraqis? I think these are all questions that need to be examined.
Now, also, Tom, did the question of pulling troops back get discussed in any detail at all this morning?
Well, that's been suggested by some people, pulling troops back. He indicated that was probably not a good idea, that you really have to make sure the situation on the ground is better before you start pulling out U.S. troops. And as far as a surge, we've been hearing a lot about that at the Pentagon, that they may surge U.S. troops by as many as 20,000 over the coming months. And you could do that by extending troops already on the ground in Iraq and also accelerating those coming over to temporarily bump up the number of troops. And you could do that for a number of months. On the question of trainers, there are roughly 4,000 American trainers now, and we're hearing maybe doubling that number or even quadrupling that number in the coming months and years.
Now, interesting that Mr. Gates is appearing before the Senate the day before the release of the Iraq Study Group's report. He was a member of that group before he was nominated to be Secretary of Defense. So what's the connection between what we're going to hear tomorrow in that report and what we were hearing today so far on the Hill?
Well, one thing we haven't heard is reportedly the Iraq Study Group will suggest withdrawing U.S. combat forces over the next year and a half or so, and then maintaining tens of thousands of U.S. forces for training, for logistics. And logistics is everything from truck drivers to mechanics to supply clerks, U.S. aircraft and pilots and so forth. So that's the kind of thing we would likely see from the Iraq Study Group, you know, withdrawal of combat troops. But I would guess that they would also tie it to events on the ground, conditions on the ground, and they would suggest doing that only when the country is more secure. So we're not going to see that anytime soon, I think.
And we want to listen to some tape now of an exchange between Mr. Gates and Senator Ted Kennedy. Interesting exchange. It gives you an idea of the kind of Secretary of Defense that he would like to be. Let's listen to that tape.
But just to really pick up on a sentiment that Senator McCain caught, we have lost 60 soldiers in my state of Massachusetts. I've talked with just about every one of them. And what the families want is to make sure that we are going to have a policy that is worthy of their valor and their bravery. And they're looking at you.
Senator Kennedy, the 12 graduates of Texas A&M have been killed in Iraq. I would run in the morning with some of those kids. I'd have lunch with them. They'd share with me their aspirations and their hopes. And I'd hand them their degree, I'd attend their commissioning, and then I would get word of their death. So this all comes down to being very personal for all of us. The statistics, 2,889 killed in Iraq as of yesterday morning. That's a big number, but every single one of them represents not only an individual tragedy for the soldier who's been killed, but for their entire family and their friends, and I see this. Senator, I am not giving up the presidency of Texas A&M, the job that I've probably enjoyed more than any that I've ever had, making considerable personal financial sacrifice, and frankly going through this process to come back to Washington to be a bump on a log, and not to say exactly what I think, and to speak candidly and, frankly, boldly to people both at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue about what I believe and what I think needs to be done. I intend to listen closely to people. I intend to draw my own conclusions, and I'll make my recommendations. But I can assure you that I don't owe anybody anything. And I've come back here to do the best I can for the men and women in uniform and for the country in terms of these difficult problems that we face.
That was Senator Ted Kennedy and Robert Gates at today's confirmation hearings on Mr. Gates' nomination to be Secretary of Defense. Robert Gates asserting that he's not coming to Washington to be a bump on the log. Tom Bowman, our Pentagon correspondent, is with us. Tom, what do we make of those comments, that kind of assertion? You know, I didn't give up a good job to come to Washington to be ignored, I guess, is what he's saying.
Right. And I think he has a certain amount of independence for a couple of reasons. First of all, this was not his doing, the problems in Iraq. And also, he only has 2 years left to try to turn things around. He's essentially coming in as a Mr. Fix-It. And he also has close ties to the Bush family. He, of course, worked in the Bush 1 White House. So again, he can be, I think, a little more honest and open, and a little more independent because of those things.
Have any other issues come up besides the Iraq war so far in the hearings?
Well, clearly they talked a lot about Iran and Syria. He said he would like to offer incentives and disincentives to both countries to try to work out a regional peace when it comes to Iraq. Clearly, military officials have said that fighters and weapons and money are leaking across the borders in both Syria and Iran into Iraq, that both of them, I think Gates said, are not helpful to the situation, which almost is a direct quote from what Rumsfeld has said in the past. So he wants to work that issue as well, Iran and Syria, and that's expected to be a recommendation from the Iraq Study Group as well, that you have to reach out to the other countries in the region to work a more of a regional pact when it comes to Iraq. And also Saudi Arabia and Turkey would be part of that as well.
We're talking with NPR's Tom Bowman about Robert Gates' Senate confirmation hearings today. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 800-989-TALK. And we're going to take a call now from Nancy in Albany, Ohio. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I've been surprised so far, unless I missed it. I haven't heard Gates' alleged involvement with manipulation of intelligence, you know, during Iran-Contra come up. And, you know, we're in a war, obviously, based on, you know, that false intelligence that was sold to the American public and Kofi Annan told us about. So I'm wondering, are we going to hear the senators ask more challenging questions about his involvement or alleged involvement with manipulation of intelligence?
All right. Thanks for your question, Nancy. Tom, Iran-Contra going to come up or not?
I think Carl Levin, who was in the Senate at the time of the Iran-Contra hearings, I think he may bring that up in the second round of questioning. Clearly, that's a major concern among some senators that Gates, when he was in the CIA, skewed intelligence and was too much of a hardliner when it came to the Soviet Union. And clearly, he came late to the game in as far as whether Mikhail Gorbachev was a good thing or a bad thing. So I think we probably will hear some questions about that.
All right, Tom, if you stay with us, so we're going to continue this conversation and wrap it up after a short break. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, where Robert Gates, the president's nominee for Secretary of Defense, faces Senate confirmation hearings today. Tom Bowman is still with us. He is NPR's Pentagon correspondent. And if you'd like to join the discussion, you can give us a call at 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. One other question that came up, Tom, regarding the war in Iraq, and it's a question that is being asked quite a lot lately, and that is whether or not the situation there should be described as a civil war. Senator Harry Reid asked him that question. Let's listen to that tape.
Do you feel that this is a civil war or a sectarian struggle? And the obvious question then is, what is the role of American military power in that struggle?
Senator Reid, I think that it's, I guess my own view is that the situation today is more complex than a single title or a single source of causation accurately describes. You not only have sectarian violence and al-Qaeda in Iraq, you now have as you suggested, significant disorder, and as an earlier senator indicated, a lot of thuggery and criminal activity. We have the Iranians involved. The Syrians are clearly involved in the sense of they're allowing their border to be used and their country to be used as a sanctuary. We now have, I read news reports that Hezbollah is involved in training. So regardless of how we got here, we are in a situation where it sounds like most of the bad guys in the Middle East are active in Iraq right now. And I don't know how you describe that. My worry is, left unconstrained, it begins to approach the chaos that I worry about and spoke about earlier. But I think all of those different factors are involved, and clearly, I would have to say the presence of U.S. forces is used as a provocation by some of those involved in this.
That was Robert Gates responding to a question from Democratic Senator Harry Reid at confirmation hearings today in the Senate on Mr. Gates' nomination to be the Secretary of Defense. That was a long answer, he never did say it was a civil war, did he?
No, he did not. And that was actually Jack Reed from Rhode Island.
I'm sorry, Jack Reed, yes.
That was asking a question. Sorry. And, you know, one reason I think many people now view it as a civil war, we've heard Kofi Annan call it a civil war, Colin Powell referred to it as a civil war. Most analysts are now calling it that. It's a very heavily weighted term, I think, for the administration, because if you start calling it a civil war, there's a sense of all is lost. And the next logical question from the American people is, oh, it's a civil war. Well, whose side are we on? So I would take what Gates said in that context. Again, he called it more complex, but most people now are clearly calling it a civil war. And if you look at a dictionary definition of it, I think that's probably what matches it.
Now, beyond Iraq, there is also the larger war on terror. Was he asked about that, and how did he discuss the larger war on terror?
Well, it's interesting. He's asked, is this the main battle in the war on terror, which I think many in the administration have suggested. And he said it's one battle in the war on terror. He talked about problems in Europe and Britain with terrorists and attacks and so forth, and also in the United States. And he said you have to look at this in a wide approach if you're going to deal with this war on terror, not just in Iraq.
All right. I think we have some tape of that exchange as well. And if I'm correct, that was with Senator Lindsey Graham. Is that correct, Tom?
I think so.
Okay. Let's play that tape.
Is Iraq the central battlefront in the war on terror?
I think that it is one of the central fronts in the war on terror.
What would be the others?
I think that what we have seen since the destruction of Afghanistan, or since the destruction of the Taliban regime, is a metastasized terror threat from the jihadists, where indigenous radicals in countries like Britain, like Spain, and like the United States are in fact planning terrorist operations and activities. So I think that while Iraq certainly is an important front in the war on terror, and particularly now that all these other bad actors are there that I indicated described earlier, I think we face a more dispersed threat that's really a very amorphous kind of second front.
All right, that was an exchange between Senator Lindsey Graham with Mr. Gates, Robert Gates, who is the nominee for Secretary of Defense. And, of course, hearings on that nomination are going on the Senate in the Senate today. I mean, overall, Tom, what's your impression of Mr. Gates from these hearings?
I think he came off pretty well. Again, we didn't get a lot of detail about how he'll proceed in the future. We have some hints of what he'll do. He seems like he'll be candid with the committee, and the committee members, both Democrats and Republicans, again, saw that as a breath of fresh air. Now, one other thing he brought up I thought was interesting. He's against any timetables with regard to U.S. troops. He said that would basically send the message to terrorists and insurgents that they can just wait out the U.S. before the troops will be gone. But he did advocate benchmarks is the right approach. Now, benchmarks could be, you know, when are you going to get the Iraqi security forces up and running? When will you reach out? When will the Shia government reach out to the Sunni community? When will you have provincial elections?
So, and that's very much what President Bush has been advocating, is it not? Isn't that his language as well?
Right. He has. He didn't say it, I don't think, as strong as Gates did, but that's, again, something we expect from the Iraq Study Group. More sense of benchmarks. And he did say, in reference to a question from Senator Levin, he agreed that you have to put more pressure on the Iraqis to reach some of these benchmarks.
All right, time, if we could just ask you to stay for one more moment before you go back to listening in on the hearing. We're going to take a call from Jared in Arizona. Hi, Jared.
Hi. I just had a quick comment. It seems pretty much universally agreed on now that the war has been grossly mishandled. So I'm also wondering, why is it that it also seems to be universally agreed upon that this should be expedited as fast as possible? I mean, this is the next person who's going to be handling this war.
Tom? That the hearings are being pushed through rather quickly, perhaps? There seems to be a push to get it done in one day, I guess.
Right. And I think part of that is the Senate is only in session for this week. It's a lame duck session. I don't think they want to extend it into next year with a new Congress. I think that's part of it. I think there's a sense among most senators that Gates is the right man for the job. And I think time is of the essence, people believe, with Iraq, that if you're looking at major shifts in strategy, you better start them right away.
All right. Thanks for your call, Jared. And Tom Bowman, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Tom Bowman is NPR's Pentagon correspondent, and he joined us from the Pentagon.